He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up 20 minutes from now, our friend who does a great job getting you set for the NFL draft. Isn't that crazy? We already turned the page to some combine that is right around the corner. And then before you know it, the draft will be here. So Chris Trapasso had a mock draft out there, and he was the guy last night that we told you about. His mock draft had the Colts moving up to the number one pick slot. And not taking Bryce Young, not taking C.J. Stroud, not taking Will Levis, and selecting Anthony Richardson. And if that happens, I will be the happiest person on CBS Sports Radio. I will be the happiest person in our entire company, because that means my producer, Hot Take Hickey, who once again is not here because he's on a ski trip. And by the way, Carlos, let me just ask you this. I don't know if I should feel a certain type of way about this, because I'm all about people behind the scenes getting other opportunities to make more money and host their own shows. But Hickey, I helped in assisting him getting the Hot Take Hickey Hour, which he won't call it. It's the Ryan Hickey Show.
The Ryan Hickey Show on CBS Sports Radio,
which is from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, which I used to host that shift Friday into Saturday, Saturday into Sunday, before I left CBS Sports Radio for 3 months before coming back here to work the 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern slot. Would have been nice if they would have told me when I left that they were going to offer me the 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time slot.
Just when you thought you were out, they pulled you right back.
Pretty much like a month after leaving, I got a call from Mark Chernoff.
You're going to be getting offered a job. It's Monday through Friday. It's not overnights. It's full time. I just don't know what the time slot is yet. I can't tell you, okay?
So then for 2 months, I'm at Sirius, and I'm like, this is awkward, because I know I'm getting a job Monday through Friday. I was working 5 days a week, but I wasn't full-time at Sirius, and I loved everyone at Sirius. And I was just waiting for the call from Chernoff.
Okay, here's what it is.
And then I got it that it was 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern, so I had to take it. So I think that 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time slot for a young talk show host is incredible, because it's going to be on the most stations that you're on in your life. Like, that time slot is the most affiliates we have. It's like 300 affiliates at times. So it's wonderful to be on the air, even though like the social life, it stinks and all that, because you're talking to so many people. So I'm very happy that Hickey now, I think it's for over a year, has that slot. But when you're not working the show today, which is Friday, and then you're hosting a few hours later, should I feel some certain type of way? Now, maybe it's a scheduling issue. But the schedule that I was sent from our boss and David Mayernick was that Ryan Hickey is hosting on the Ryan Hickey Show tonight or later on at 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern. But he was not here Wednesday. He was not here Thursday. He was not here Friday. Now he's allowed to take his vacation days, and he took his vacation days. But that doesn't I don't know if I should feel a certain type of way about that when you're not working your Monday through Friday job. And then your extra work, you're showing up there, but you didn't show up for us on Friday.
Now, do you have the itinerary? Do you know when he flies in?
I don't think he's flying anywhere. This was, from my understanding, also, well, I'm going to air some grievances here. Hickey didn't tell me he was taken off until Thursday, last week at the Super Bowl. Now, we have a document. I've made that clear. Like, I'm taking off some time in March. I'm off on Monday. And I have wrote on this document, this is when I'm off. You know, and like I understand things happen, things pop up. But like when I just get the alert on Thursday from, hey, by the way, I'm not going to be here like 3 days next week. It's like, oh, so you gave me no time to try to tell management who I would like to produce the show, because Carlos is great, but sometimes they give us some people that aren't the best in the world. And they basically tell me to go make a 5-star meal with like 2-star ingredients. It's just, that's the way that it operates. So there's like, there's sometimes I know when there's certain people that are filling in, not to give out any names or throw anyone under the bus, that I have to do more work and that I have to do Hickey's job while also doing my job. And I just try to avoid that, you know, as much as we can. And the schedule is already done and it was fine because Nick Theodore was on Wednesday. I like Nick. Emmanuel's on Thursday. I like Emmanuel. And then boom, we got Carlos Ortiz on Friday. And, you know, not, I just don't like Carlos here. I like Carlos outside of here. And we had a good time Labor Day, I think that was, at Bob's Bar over at, Bob's by the Bay over at Mraz's house. So that was a good old grand old time. So anyway, I got to ask you, I need the ruling here. Should I be a little annoyed at Hickey that he's hosting a few hours from now, but he didn't show up to the Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio, which is his main gig Monday through Friday?
Yeah, I think you can be mildly annoyed.
Yeah.
Especially if you didn't fly anywhere. Like, if it was like travel time, you can give him a mulligan. But if you stayed local and you know, like, you could be readily available. Like, all right.
He's skiing somewhere.
Maybe not get here at 4, but if you get here, like, you know, half an hour and maybe an hour prior to show, like, and you can theoretically do it.
Well, that's the big question. When did he get back from this? I think it's like a 2.5-3 hour drive wherever he went skiing. So, like, let's just assume that. The question just is, when did he get back? Now, in Hickey's defense, he took his off day. So, like, he's entitled to do that. But if you're calling out sick or taking your off day on Friday, I don't know. I think it's a little weird that he's hosting a few hours later. Now, I'm not trying to take anyone's money out of their pocket. Like, I'm not calling up the bosses and saying, this is ridiculous. This is absurd. You know, I want him to get his money and I want him to do the show. I was a big advocate for the show. But it just, you know, maybe he should have took off Wednesday, Thursday, worked Friday, then done his show Friday into Saturday morning.
Would you have felt better if there was somebody doing his show on Saturday?
I think it would make sense because if you're taking off, because when we say Saturday, this is not Saturday night into Sunday. This is Friday night into Saturday. So if you're working your show on Saturday, I think you should be working your main gig on Friday. That's the only thing I'll say. Like, if it was like a funeral or if you had to go to someone's birthday, that's different. But if it's just like, oh, I'm taking off just to take off, and then you're working. It'd be like if he called out sick, let's say, for this show, which he's allowed to do. And then 6 hours later or whatever it is.
It's a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fine.
I'm hosting the show. He went from like at 8 p.m. Eastern. I got the black lung. To welcome in, it's the Ryan Hickey Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Be a little bit weird. So, anyway, Chris Trapasso going to join us coming up at 8:20. And the reason why we're having on Chris is what happens when Hickey doesn't show up to work. Because I don't know if Hickey would have booked Chris because he knows where this is going. I'm hoping, Chris, he's right that the Colts move up to 1. They get Anthony Richardson because Hickey, all he wants is Bryce Young. And since, I don't want to say Hickey screwed us this week, but since he's playing with the radio karma this week, I hope it comes back to bite him in the you-know-what. And if the Colts, Carlos, this is what you're going to learn. If the Colts don't get Bryce Young, it's because he took off on this Friday and then is working his show later tonight. That's what it's going to be. That's how. Right now, Jim Irsay sitting there going, I know I just said I like Bryce Young. Yeah, I like that Alabama quarterback when we introduced a new head football coach like 2 days ago. In Shane Steichen. But now since Hickey messed with Gelb, we can't take Bryce Young anymore. So thank you, Jim. Alrighty, let's update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Our boy Slick Reynolds on Twitter. Yes, you should be annoyed at Hickey. Your audience is annoyed at Hickey. I'm annoyed at Hickey. Jeez. Settle down there, Slick. Kevin Durant. He did speak to the media yesterday. Got introduced as a member of the Phoenix Suns. And he did discuss the Kyrie Irving trade demand and upset how he could not win with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I was upset that we couldn't finish. I thought we had some good momentum. We were finally building the culture that we always wanted. I felt like every game we were building our chemistry. But I didn't know what was going on with Kyrie and his situation with the organization. So I didn't really focus on that. I only focused on what we were doing on the court. And it was a blow to our team. It just took away our identity. He was a huge, huge part of what we do. So without him, we didn't have a clear identity. So that was tough for me to stomach.
KD, KD, KD. About damn time, Kevin. Like, what took you so long? You allowed Kyrie Irving to stab you in the back for the last 2 years. And finally, even though it wasn't what I would have done, I would have gone way over the top because I'm so annoyed at Kyrie Irving. He finally just somewhat told the truth. And that's as truthful as you're going to get from Kevin Durant. About damn time. Mike Budenholzer, the always entertaining Mike Budenholzer, on the Giannis Antetokounmpo wrist injury.
We're hopeful the x-ray was clean and, you know, he's got a sprain. We'll just, you know, I think see how he feels tomorrow, see how he feels the next few days and continue to evaluate it.
And let's also hear more from Coach Bud on his thoughts when Giannis Antetokounmpo did go down with the injury.
He's a guy that is attacking the basket all the time and, you know, he's fearless and he takes a lot of falls. So you kind of learn to just expect him to always bounce back up, and that's what we're hoping for this one.
And the latest, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Giannis is in some pain after his wrist injury and wants to play in the NBA All-Star Game. As great as it is, and I don't even love the All-Star Game or All-Star Weekend anymore, you would want, the league would want Giannis there, but if Giannis isn't healthy and he, like, this just happened, as much as he wants to play and we know his intentions are good at spot, I would tell him, dude, you shouldn't be playing in the All-Star Game. Let's hear from Paul George on how difficult the Western Conference is going to be after the post-NBA trade deadline.
It is going to be tough. Every team is pretty good. Every team stepped their game up. I mean, the West always been competitive. So we got a lot to look forward to. Wait to see what it looks like.
Now, I know the top three seeds right now are the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, and the Kings. I would like to see one of those three teams get to the NBA Finals. I have no desire to see the Clippers. The Suns, I can't root for them right now. The Mavericks, I will never root for Kyrie Irving ever again, and I used to be a big fan. The Pelicans would be fun, but they have health concerns there. I like Anthony Edwards, though, with the Timberwolves. The Warriors, assuming, you know, everyone gets back healthy, they make the playoffs, to always be a threat. I would love to see Nikola Jokic in an NBA Finals, assuming that everyone gets healthy there. The Grizzlies are fun with Ja Morant. And the Kings are kind of like this team that has finally got their act together. So I think it's probably most likely that the Suns get there. But I'd much rather personally see the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals. Let's hear from Eagles general manager Howie Roseman on the Jalen Hurts potential contract extension.
We want to keep our best players here for the long term. And he's certainly one of our best players. So that's something we'll keep all the contract talks internal. But we definitely would like to keep Jalen Hurts here long term.
Yeah, all Jalen Hurts has to say is show me the money. Because he is now not only a quarterback that just got to a Super Bowl and proved all the doubters wrong. I think he's the face of the NFC now for the foreseeable future. Like, Rodgers on his way out. And if you look at all those other names, Dak can't win a big game. Kirk can't win a big game. Brady, retired. Kyler Murray, currently injured. And also, he projectile vomited in a big spot up against the Rams a year ago. You know, Justin Fields maybe one day, but they have a lot of work to do. So for Jalen Hurts, he just had a career year, and I know it's so young into his career, but it's also at a time where there's not a lot of great quarterbacks in the NFC, so he is worth every penny. And finally, Shohei Ohtani via an interpreter speaks on his future with the Angels.
I mean, this is my last year, and I'm aware of that. As of now, I'm an Angel, and that's all I want to focus on. So I haven't really thought too far ahead.
Yeah, go somewhere else because the Angels can't make the playoffs. I'd like to see Mike Trout go somewhere else as well. They made the playoffs once under Mike Trout. They've never made it under Shohei Ohtani. Steve Cohen, get ready. Write the check. Blank check to Shohei Ohtani in the memo, whatever you want. Sign it up. Get Shohei Ohtani to Queens. And that could be a consolation prize, right? After losing Carlos Correa. Be much better than Correa. All righty, Chris Trapasso joins us next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
BetUS.com is back for our 20th year of NFL action. With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers our members the chance to cash in on all your favorite sports. Sign up at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS, where the game begins.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right.
righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome into draft analyst for CBS. And I love me some Chris Trapasso, not only because he loves some barbell wings, but he gave us a big gift here in his latest mock draft. Chris, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Very good, Zach. Thanks for having me again.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So I am not a fan of the Indianapolis Colts, and my producer, Hot Take Hickey, is a mega Colts fan, and all he wants is his team to move up into the number one spot and make sure that they get Bryce Young. So, Chris, when you had them moving into the number one spot and drafting Anthony Richardson, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, this is all about the new head coach, Shane Steichen, who certainly did a great job fostering the development of Jalen Hurts. And just from his time in Philadelphia, the thought process that he's going to probably want a quarterback that is at least a little bit like Jalen Hurts. I mean, Anthony Richardson had 65 designed runs this past season at Florida for almost 7.5 yards per carry. Bryce Young had 4 designed runs at Alabama. Now, this is not the only reason why I think Anthony Richardson could be in the running. I just think at 6'4" and 232 pounds, he is going to blow the roof off Lucas Oil Stadium at the Combine. And there's just going to be such a stark difference between Anthony Richardson as a physical and athletic specimen and Bryce Young. Now, certainly Bryce Young is a big-time prospect. He is poised beyond his years. But if you're moving up for a quarterback in the draft, like I have the Colts doing in this mock, and a lot of people expect the Colts to move up into the top three, I think you have to do it for a quarterback that has big-time arm talent or big-time athleticism. And Anthony Richardson has both of those in spades. And certainly he's more impressive in those key areas of today's franchise quarterback than Bryce Young.
I know you talked about the fit and the upside. Do you believe, though, he'll end up being the best quarterback in this draft class?
It's really hard to say. I mean, I have him graded not that far below Bryce Young, but as all of us know, your listeners, you know, Zach, that scheme fit matters, offensive line, everything matters where these players go. And I think at this point, I would want myself, if I was a quarterback prospect, to land with Shane Steichen after the job, again, that he did with Jalen Hurts, who was, I think, kind of a projecty quarterback as a passer coming out of Oklahoma, and now he's going to get a huge contract likely this offseason. If you land with the Houston Texans that are still kind of at the ground floor of the rebuilding process, that could really make it difficult to quickly become that franchise quarterback. That I think you have to show some type of flashes by year two in today's NFL, or a GM is getting fired and they're going to be looking for a quarterback of their own. So it really is dependent on the scheme, the offensive situation, the offensive line, the skill position around them, especially for these quarterbacks. There's not a Trevor Lawrence, there's not a Joe Burrow in this class. I think I could be talked into Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and maybe to a lesser degree, Will Levis, all as being the best quarterbacks in this class. They're all great prospects. None of them are slam dunk. They instantly turn around your franchise. They're going to need some help early in their NFL careers.
And let me be clear, Chris Trapasso. I think Bryce Young is the best quarterback in this draft class. I know he had a Heisman Trophy season 2 years ago. I was more impressed this year just because he was working with a lot less and still did a heck of a job at the quarterback position. Is it just the size that is the biggest attractor for you? Because you keep on hearing about the size or the lack of it for Bryce Young.
Well, it's not necessarily the size, although I think, again, at 6 foot and maybe 195 pounds, he can elude defenders, but there will be times inside the pocket where he won't be able to do that. And I don't know about him absorbing hits in the NFL from 6'5", 270-pound edge rushers as compared to Will Levis, who's a big quarterback, and Anthony Richardson, like I mentioned, is going to be around 6'3 or 6'4, really almost the size of a tight end at the position. So I think in general you see the bigger quarterbacks, even if they are scramblers, taking those shots in the pocket and getting back up more so than the smaller quarterbacks who aren't elite athletes that are ultimately the ones who are ultimately getting injured. And I don't think Bryce Young has a big arm. And certainly I understand that there are other ways to win at the quarterback position in today's NFL. But again, if I was not only picking a quarterback at number one overall, but saying we're going to trade future assets. It's a brand new head coach doing it. I would aim for those high caliber physical traits to play with the likes of Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen in today's NFL. Because with Bryce Young, I think you have an extremely high floor, and you certainly have upside because he can improvise. But in terms of crazy high ceiling, like we've seen from Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, that were kind of those roll of the dice quarterbacks, it's just really not there for me in terms of Bryce Young and being a number one overall pick.
Yeah, and I think most of us think we know what Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud will be in the NFL, but you are right. Yes. The higher ceiling, or how high the ceiling can be, you always get into that conversation, like in years past with the Jordan Love, even Trey Lance, Carson Wentz, and we know how it turned out for Josh Allen. So you see those four names. Two guys really haven't had much of an opportunity. One guy ended up not working out in Carson Wentz, and Josh Allen's been a stud. So we've talked about Anthony Richardson, but then the other high ceiling guy that you hear is Will Levis. What do you think his ceiling could be in the NFL?
I think he can be a light version of Josh Allen. The only thing that there's two things that are kind of make me a little bit of a detractor on Will Levis is that he's a little bit of an older prospect. So he's not coming in at 21, 22 years old, like Anthony Richardson, like Bryce Young. He's older. And his final season, yes, he lost Wendell Robinson, the second round pick to the Giants last year, who was a great receiver for him at Kentucky, but he didn't really elevate those around him. Like you mentioned, Bryce Young wins the Heisman 2 years ago, and then this past year loses so much talent to the NFL, but still has a big time season without, you know, a bunch of first round picks along the offensive line or at wide receiver. I would have loved to see Will Levis elevate some lesser players around him, and a lot of times he was making poor decisions with the football. Now, again, he does have the big-time franchise quarterback-type attributes with his size, with his running ability, has an absolute cannon for an arm. So he could be Josh Allen-esque in the right situation, but I think he's a little bit more of a gamble than the three that you mentioned before.
Talking to Chris Trapasso, so you have C.J. Stroud getting selected by the Ravens, and you have a trade occurring where Lamar Jackson goes to the Falcons. Let me start you off with the Lamar trade. We've now seen 2 years of negotiations. They have gone nowhere. I'm kind of in line with you that in year number three, they're not going to come to a contract extension. But then I just ask, why not wait another year and have it play out on a franchise tag one more year and try to get a deal done the following year? Do you think that relationship's just fractured beyond repair?
Yes, I think so. I think what you just spelled out is perfect. And I think everything that we've seen in the media, I've heard behind closed doors, that Lamar Jackson is a man of precedent, and he's not going to say, all right, I'll just play on a one-year franchise tag, especially after him going through the injury late in the season that probably had an impact on his overall value with the Ravens and on the open market or on the trade market, that he might not see as big of a long-term deal had he not been injured. So he doesn't necessarily want to risk that again on a one-year deal. If he gets injured halfway through a season, even if he's playing well, he's a year older at that point. I really don't think it would happen. And it just seems like, and I wrote this in the article, would be such a Ravens-esque move to say, okay, we can't come to a deal with this player. Let's trade him, and then let's hope to land one of these quarterbacks. And in this case, it would be C.J. Stroud after making the trade with the Atlanta Falcons.
When you look with Stroud, and I have a tough time thinking he falls 2-8, but you never know what happens on draft night. I was so impressed with Stroud, Chris Trapasso, against Georgia, because he said to me right at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, I'm more athletic than when people give me credit for, and hopefully I can put that on display soon. The way that he extended plays with his legs in that semifinal game was very impressive to me and kind of made me think, okay, I thought C.J. Stroud was really good, but then seeing him that semifinal game, I said, okay, this is the C.J. Stroud that makes me think he could be a great quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was that big scramble late in the game before Ohio State missed that field goal that would have tied the game, where he looked plenty fast to me. And what I like about C.J. Stroud, although it's easy to get enamored with the Josh Allen types and the quarterbacks that can extend plays and then be these big-time runners, we certainly saw it with Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl and throughout his breakout season. With C.J. Stroud, why he's my number one quarterback is that he is just athletic enough to make plays outside the pocket and still be a passer. He's not going to be a 700-yard rusher in the NFL, but I saw him make one step forward with his athleticism. He has functional mobility, I call it, that he's not going to be, again, Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen, but I think he could be like, say, Joe Burrow, or maybe to a lesser degree of Patrick Mahomes, that gets out of pressure in some precarious situations, keeps his eyes upfield because he's a very natural passer, and like the touchdown to Marvin Harrison Jr., where he's outside of the pocket, he has enough arm strength and enough ad-libbing ability to not just be a pocket passer and to make those plays off structure, even if he's not picking up 20 and 30-yard gains with his legs.
Talking to Chris Trapasso, when you look at the defensive players, the debate is who's the defensive player off the board. Is it Jalen Carter or Will Anderson? You elected to go with Jalen Carter coming off the board at number three, and then at four you had Will Anderson. What makes you say Carter in front of Anderson?
It really is a coin flip at this point. I'm really hoping that we get to see at least one of these two work out at the combine. If not, at the Georgia and Alabama Pro Days, respectively, we'll get to see Jalen Carter and Will Anderson, just to get the final piece of the puzzle on their draft profiles. But if you're looking at the Cardinals, they did draft two edge rushers on the second day of the draft last year, Majay Sanders and Cam Thomas, who both actually played pretty well down the stretch. Now, Arizona's defense, they bring in Jonathan Gannon to be kind of that architect to build up the defense as a head coach. They need a lot of pieces on that side of the ball. They could go Will Anderson, but I think the biggest glaring need, especially after the J.J. Watt retirement, is getting that elite interior pass rusher that I think a lot of the very good defenses and the great teams have in today's NFL. It's not just having that marquee edge rusher. It's that pocket pusher inside that can get pressure on the quarterback in under 2 seconds.
Chris Trapasso, outside of the quarterbacks, as we discussed in depth, and then also Carter and Anderson, who are the other players that you look at in this draft you're like, wow, they're going to be game changers for a team?
I really love Devin Witherspoon from Illinois, the cornerback. I have him going number 6 overall to the Detroit Lions in this mock draft. It's a good cornerback class. We usually see between 4 to 6 of them go in the first round, but Witherspoon is long. He's feisty. He was always around the football. I think he has big time athleticism to play man. When I saw him in zone coverage, he read route concept very well, plays the football very aggressively in the air. His game against Michigan, I thought, was fantastic. Just playing on an island. I really like him. The other name that I think is going to fly up draft boards, and maybe he already has already, especially if he works out at the combine, Kalijah Kansi from Pittsburgh. Interior pass rusher. I'm not going to call him the next Aaron Donald, but go read scouting reports on him and then read the scouting reports back in 2014 on Aaron Donald. 6 foot, 280 pounds, elite pass rusher. First step quickness, explosiveness, speed to the football, and then a huge arsenal of pass rushing moves. Yeah, he does get kind of beat up against the run at times and gets overwhelmed because of his lack of size, but that was really the book on Aaron Donald when he was coming out of Pittsburgh 10 years ago. So Kalijah Kansi, I think, is going to have a big combine workout, and in a somewhat of a down interior defensive line class, especially in terms of what I was just talking about after Jalen Carter being that up the field interior pass rusher, Kalijah Kansi, I don't think he's going to go ahead of Jalen Carter, but he will be probably a mid first round pick, if not higher, because teams are really placing a high priority on that position.
You had 4 quarterbacks going in the top 10, 4 going though in the first round. Who's the fifth quarterback off the board here when you get into rounds 2 and on?
It's probably going to be Tanner McKee from Stanford. I think had Hendon Hooker not torn his ACL late in the season, he would have been the shoe-in to maybe be that sneaky late first-round pick for a team that wanted that fifth-year option. But with the injury lingering, I think teams will be a little hesitant to pick him crazy early. Probably will go somewhere on day 2. But Tanner McKee, he's going to fly under the radar until, I think, later in the pre-draft process because so many drops from his wide receivers and tight ends on film. Stanford has been down the last couple years, but he does have a big-time arm. He's not a crazy athlete, but what I loved is that he would have amnesia as a quarterback, where he would see a drop turn into an interception, or they would be down 17-0, and he would still rip tight window throws all over the Pac-12 one of the more underrated quarterback prospects I think that we've seen in the last couple years, because usually if you're a big-time quarterback prospect with a big arm, you're getting talked about a lot, even this early in the pre-draft process. And again, because Stanford hasn't been very good the last couple of years, we're not hearing a lot about Tanner McKee, but I think second or third round is where we will ultimately see him go off the board.
Last one for Chris Trapasso. Does a great job covering the NFL draft and a bunch of college scouting for CBS Sports. Do you just view Stetson Bennett and Max Duggan as backup quarterbacks? That's what you kind of think they are in the NFL?
Yeah, I think they'll both get drafted. And I actually think, and this might be a little controversial, I think that Stetson Bennett has a better chance to get drafted than Max Duggan in terms of the quick decisions that he makes. The pocket presence, I think, is a little bit better. I don't really think that at his size, Max Duggan is going to be able to run and take as many hits as he did last season, where he really got beat up down the stretch. He's not a big quarterback. But Stetson Bennett, I'm not going to call him the next Brock Purdy, but I think in that type of situation, very insulated, great offensive line, a lot of yards after the catch, he can make those quick decisions. And I thought he was borderline undraftable, probably a UDFA coming into the season, without a ton of crazy talent at receiver, certainly good tight ends there at Georgia. I thought he took a step forward with his, again, his decision-making and his accuracy and just being poised with a lot of chaos around him.
Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter, at Chris Trapasso. Does a great job. NFL Draft, young NFL player analyst for CBS Sports. Chris, I'm sure we'll be talking before the draft. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Zach.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Let's go to Nick in Portland.
I was just calling to say I agree with Ryan, and boneless chicken wings are the best. And, of course, you're smothering those in ranch.
Oh,
and,
no!
And what are you doing? No! Little chicken wings, bone chicken wings? That's like those little baby wings. What are you, an animal?
What are you talking about? That's the way they eat wings. You're just not man enough, Nick. You got to go boneless wings and ranch. That's the worst combination. Boneless wings and ranch. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
So coming off the Super Bowl, as like last week is just like a gluttonous week, I'm trying to eat really healthy this week. So I've had a lot of salads, a lot of protein shakes, and a lot of protein bars. So, like, I just picked up dinner during the break, and I got myself a salad with grilled chicken. And I asked Carlos what he wanted, and he goes, he'll take the buttermilk fried chicken sandwich with French fries. And I'm walking back into the studio, and Ack and Marco, they go to me, oh, what do you got there? And I go, well, I'm trying to eat healthy this week, and I'm having my salad with grilled chicken, but I may give that to Carlos, and I may take his buttermilk fried chicken sandwich because it smelled absolutely delicious. And that was torture. When I'm walking from Westville, which is right across the street or right adjacent to our studios, back into the studio, and just the smell of that fried chicken sandwich. I'm surprised when I gave you the sandwich, Carlos, you didn't have like a piece of chicken missing, because I was very, very close to devouring your chicken sandwich.
Yeah, like I would have ordered a chicken sandwich without the chicken.
Yeah.
It's just a sandwich. The two pieces of bread, dressing, and lettuce.
Dude, like Hickey did that when we were in Las Vegas. He's like, I want the burger, but no lettuce, no tomato, no cheese. And the waitress was like, so you just want a hamburger? And she said, do you want a toy with your kiddie meal? That was great. That was a great line in Las Vegas.
Did he literally just order like a patty? Like, was a patty and bread?
Pretty much. And I think there was one other topping that he liked on it, but then it was a certain burger that it was called, and then he just got everything basically that was supposed to be on the burger, not on the burger.
That's so annoying. It's like, let me get a bacon cheeseburger, but hold the bacon and the cheese.
And also the burger. Just give me the bun, pretty much. So last night, though, I did break a little bit, where I was in 7-Eleven right after the show, and I was craving some popcorn. So I got a bag of popcorn. But I've said this before. If you give me any combination of popcorn or pretzels with chocolate and peanut butter, I could die as a very happy camper. So last night, as I'm checking out for my one little bag of popcorn, I saw something that I've never seen before. And it was Reese's peanut butter cups, little mini Reese's peanut butter cups that are bites with no wrapper on them. And it was like a little pouch. So they did not have, like, you didn't have to unwrap, right, the Reese's peanut butter cup, any of them. It was just these little bites. And I've seen the bites before, but I never knew they didn't have the wrapper on them. You look very confused right now.
Yeah, so they're small miniature cups, right? Not the big cups. And they're just in the bag by itself.
Yes.
Not wrapped together. So theoretically, if it melts, you have one clump of like chocolate and peanut butter cups, nothing separated.
Yeah. If it was the summer, I think I would be concerned. But since it was somewhat cold last night, I wasn't all that concerned. So I get back to my apartment. I turned on. What did I watch last night? Oh, I watched the that Special Forces show on Fox.
Oh, yeah. You were just talking about that before we got on.
Yeah. With Mike Piazza's in it, like Scaramucci. You have Carly Lloyd.
Nothing but A-list celebrities for sure.
Danny Amendola, Dwight Howard. It's a very good show. Now, I'm a Piazza crazy fan. And I thought it was cool because that process, as you know, it really wears you down. Where they're trying to train you to go into like battle where you can get blown up. So they give you these tasks that are very tough to succeed. And if you fail, they just yell at you and all that stuff because it's the specific training. And when you have these like mega stars, it breaks them down because they've been yelled at before, like in training, but this is different. And I thought it was pretty neat. I don't want to spoil the whole thing when they're talking to Piazza and he starts talking about his dad and how tough it's been to overcome the loss of his dad who passed away and everything there. So I was watching that with my popcorn last night and my Reese's, I guess they're called mini peanut butter cups, but they didn't have the wrapper on them. And it was delicious. I was a happy camper last night.
So are you popping like 3-4 kernels of popcorn and then mixing it with a Reese's cup?
Oh, mm-hmm.
That's straight up gluttonous. Like,
yeah.
A treat for you here.
Like, for example, when, Stoner Sirianni a few weeks ago, Nick Sirianni's ordering his Pizza Hut and Domino's. Like, I could understand. There's no way Coach is sober while you're ordering Pizza Hut and Domino's. So, like, back when I was in college, and that would be my weakness. It would be a milkshake, or it would be like when you would get in that state of mind, or it would be any combination of pretzels, chocolate peanut butter, popcorn, chocolate peanut butter. That was my munchie food of choice. Now, I did not have the munchies last night. I was sober. But when I went back to the apartment, I was just craving some popcorn. So I got some popcorn, and then just conveniently, when I'm walking out, it was like, oh! There they were, those peanut butter cups that I had to try. And they were absolutely delicious. So
yeah, listen, when the cravings call, you got to answer.
Yeah.
I'm a big chocolate chip cookie guy myself. Like,
I love a chocolate chip cookie.
There is not a good chocolate chip cookie that I won't stop to just enjoy.
Well, you could have bad chocolate chip cookies.
What constitutes as a bad chocolate chip cookie?
Like, you could mess up making chocolate chip cookies. It's tough.
What I don't like are the hard, soft, baked cookies. Like, they're supposed to be soft.
Yes.
But they don't dunk in milk well. They don't actually get softer than it should be. I have a problem with those cookies.
That's like when I was growing up as a kid, the red Chips Ahoy were amazing. That would come in the red box, and they were the extra chewy, soft chocolate chip cookie. That was good. The Costco brand cookie is the only like hard chocolate chip cookie that I do really like. But if you're going to have a hard chocolate chip cookie, like if you get a chocolate chip cookie, here's a veteran tip here. And it's a hard chocolate chip cookie, and you wanted a soft chocolate chip cookie. Instead of just eating it, but you're not going to be happy, I would then put it in the freezer, and I think it tastes better, even though it'd still be hard. But you get a frozen chocolate chip cookie, that's also very good.
I did not think we would be on National Sports Radio talking about cookies today.
Do you have an air fryer?
I do, but I never use it.
Oh, that's a mistake. You put a chocolate chip cookie in the air fryer, get a little extra toasty.
I assume you mean like a soft baked one that I'm gonna stick it in there.
Mm-hmm.
My wife knows how to work the air fryer. Maybe I'll put her to the test and we'll do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with the air fryer. I've made wings in the air fryer. I've made
boneless wings. I'm sure.
I've made. Excuse me.
Boneless wings.
No.
Ranch.
I am a man. I have a bone in wing with blue cheese. None of this petulant a swing with ranch. Like, have I taken chicken fingers? Like, if I have a bag of chicken fingers and I'll put hot sauce on them and make them, sure. But if when I talk about making wings, bone in wing, obviously.
Is there any other kind?
No, those are just called chicken nuggets.
Those are adult chicken nuggets.
Yeah. So also, I made chicken wrapped in bacon and pesto right before I went to the Super Bowl in the air fryer. And that was delicious. Are you a big pesto fan?
Not so much, but you have me on the chicken and bacon, so I'll grin and bear to pesto.
Oh, I love pesto. Anyway, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're supposed to talk about Justin Fields in this segment, but then you got two large guys talking about food, and that train just goes totally off the tracks. So anyway, my point about Justin Fields was, I feel like people are trying to bring up a conversation like, the Bears should trade Justin Fields. Like, there's a minority of people that say that. No, they shouldn't. The Bears need to develop a roster around Justin Fields. Justin Fields showed you a lot this year that makes you believe that he could be a franchise quarterback. And the Bears haven't ever had a franchise quarterback. So you have that number one overall pick. You know teams are going to try to move up to get Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. You should take advantage of a team like the Texans. Take advantage of a team like the Colts, where you're only moving back to two or four, and you could still get one of those preeminent players in the draft, whether it's a Jalen Carter, out of Georgia. So, like, that's a possibility, a Will Anderson Jr. out of Alabama. And you get someone that could not only contribute to the team now, but then dropping back a few spots, you'll at least get one more first-round pick, and you could use that moving on into the future. So, with what Fields has done so far, I don't see why the Bears would trade him. And I don't see why they would take a quarterback either. You know, like, I think Bryce Young will be really damn good. Is he the way that I thought of Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow coming out of college? No. So, with that being said, I think it's the only decision to make if you're the Bears. You move back a few spots, you still get a great defensive player, and you get more picks in the process. All right. Cookies, popcorn, Reese's peanut butter cups, pretzels, grilled chicken, or, you know, air fried chicken and pesto and bacon. You never know what you're going to get on the Zach Gelb Show. DeMarcus Ware going to join us 25 minutes from now, onside, offside, next.